my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for my 1-2-3 cents of a podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
The guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo!
Hey everyone, it's episode 124 of my 1-2-3 cents of the podcast, and this is the WrestleMania recap. I'm going solo. It is late. It is nearly midnight Central Time. This show went on forever, and that's going to kind of be the theme as I go through and kind of wrap up and share some thoughts and some opinions on WrestleMania 33. I'm not going to sit here and be negative and crap all over the show, although I do feel like it went way too long. The pre-show started at 4 o'clock Central Time, and WrestleMania itself wrapped up just after 11 o'clock, so about 7 hours, and I know there wasn't wrestling that whole time. There was a lot of talking, obviously, with the pre-show. I think the first match, which was Neville and Austin Aries, happened around 4:30 or so, roughly 6.5 hours or so of wrestling and talk and whatnot, so it makes for a very long day and night, and I kind of feel bad for not only the live audience, but the wrestlers, the superstars who were in the ring, especially on the second half of the show, because it just seemed like the wind got let out of the sails or whatever, somewhere around the Seth Rollins Triple H match. It just really felt like the crowd was not into it pretty much for the rest of the night. And, you know, superstars go out there, they bust their asses, they do a great job. I don't think that there was any bad matches per se, but I do feel like 6.5 hours is way too long. And I love wrestling. I've been a wrestling fan my whole life, or most of my life. I look forward to WrestleMania every year. But I think, you know, the network, having the network and having that flexibility to kind of go as long as you want to go can sometimes be a little too much, and I think that was definitely the case with WrestleMania 33. Again, you know, I don't want to say it was bad, but I definitely feel like it was way too long. And I'm not going to go through and nitpick or talk about each and every single match. To me, this year's event just didn't have that. There were obviously some moments, I think WrestleMania moments, if you will, and I use the air quotes because everybody wants to talk about WrestleMania moments. Obviously, the Hardy Boys surprising people coming back, or I was surprised. I knew they were coming back to WWE, but the fact that they came back at WrestleMania, I figured that would have been saved for the Monday after WrestleMania, the Raw. That's typically a very big night for surprises. So, frankly, I was surprised to see them. And, you know, it wasn't overly surprising that when the New Day came out and said that there was going to be a fourth team, the way the New Day was dressed, and I think they did this obviously on purpose, was to make us believe that the New Day was going to be that fourth team. And there was a great little swerve when the music hit and out came the Hardy Boys. So kudos to WWE for that, pulling that off. And somebody posted it on Twitter or Facebook, so it's got to be true. The Hardys have held the Impact Wrestling, the Ring of Honor, and the WWE Tag Team titles all within a month's time. So pretty incredible record, if you will, by the Hardys, who are into their 40s now, or at least I know Matt is. I'm not sure how old Jeff is, but pretty impressive. And it'll be interesting to see where they go with the Hardys, if the broken gimmick is still going to be a thing, They didn't appear to be broken, although I know at one point delete, delete, delete was being chanted. And, you know, I think Matt even said delete at one point. So that was a great surprise. Jim Ross coming back. I love JR, especially what he's gone through over the last 2 weeks or so. So it was awesome to see and hear him back calling a WWE match, which presumably is the Undertaker's final match. And that is kind of the other big thing from the night. The big nugget of the night is this is, I guess there's a lot of speculation that this is it for the Undertaker. He, of course, took the gloves, the hat, and the jacket and laid them in the ring and then left, kissed his wife, Michelle McCool, who was at ringside. So the speculation, and there was some talk, and again, I don't read a lot of the dirt sheets or get into a lot of that beforehand, but there was some talk on Twitter and Facebook. Again, they can't be wrong, right? That this would be the Undertaker's final match, and that was part of the reason why Jim Ross was there to call it. So if it was the Undertaker's last match, I'm surprised that WWE chose to not promote it and do a thing with it like they did with Shawn Michaels, like they did with Ric Flair. But, you know, this may have been the way The Undertaker wanted to go out. Was it the best ending of the night? Was it the best way to end a match? Was it the best Undertaker match? Of course not. It was not. But that being said, The Undertaker has given us a lot of entertainment for the last 26 and a half years. He's an amazing competitor. And, you know, I'll have more, and Chad may chime in and join it too, but blogs and Facebook lives and Instagram lives perhaps this week as well on The Undertaker's career. Once we learn more and find out exactly, was this it for The Undertaker? Because he obviously deserves more than 2 or 3 minutes on this podcast. And I will do some more accordingly once we get more confirmation on what is next or what is going to happen with The Undertaker. Neville retaining the Cruiserweight Championship. I'm a huge Neville mark. You guys know that. So that makes me very happy. Dean Ambrose retaining the Intercontinental Championship. Probably one of the bigger surprises of the night for me as well. I thought if any title changed hands, it was going to be Baron Corbin winning the Intercontinental Championship. Not a Baron Corbin fan at all. I don't mean to disrespect the guy, but I'm glad Dean retained and held on. Probably another huge surprise for me was Mojo Rawley winning the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. Braun Strowman seemed to be the pick. I think a lot of people had him picked. I even heard on some of the more experted podcast, if you will, they had Braun picked. So maybe WWE threw us a swerve. I don't know. And this is where I show my not knowing anything about sports portion of the night. The football player from the Patriots, I knew he played for the Patriots. I can't remember his name. I'm drawing a blank at the moment. But when he jumped the guardrail, I thought it was funny because I'm pretty sure that female security guard did not know that was part of the show. And she quickly ran over there, and that could have gotten much uglier than it did. But luckily, he was able to get into the ring and do his thing. Very surprising, though, to see Mojo Rawley come out on top of the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. AJ and Shane opened the show, the main show. Those, of course, were the three kickoff matches that I talked about a second ago. Potentially match of the night. I was with a group of guys from Stride Pro Wrestling, and that was one of the matches that was thrown out there as match of the night, AJ Styles versus Shane McMahon. The other one was Kevin Owens versus Chris Jericho for the U.S. Championship. I liked both those matches a lot. It was great to see Kevin Owens pick up that win. I am a big Kevin Owens fan. I know he doesn't really look the part of a typical WWE superstar, but was happy to see him win. Of course, Bayley retaining. I thought there might be a title change go on there. I would have liked to have seen it go back to Charlotte, but not overly surprised that it was Bayley to come out on top and retain a of course, her first WrestleMania. We talked about the Hardy Boys match, the tag team title match. I had Enzo and Big Cass picked to win that one. And what was kind of a... The match was okay. The John Cena, Nikki Bella versus Maryse and The Miz. The end with the proposal. Oh my gosh, so lame. I'm just not a huge Nikki Bella fan. And again, I'm not trying to be disrespectful to her or John Cena. I'm sure they're great people, but that segment was just painful to watch. And that's where I really think the show kind of went off the rails a little bit. And the Seth Rollins Triple H match was a solid match. Obviously these guys are great workers. Triple H looks amazing, considering he is, past his prime in terms of being in the ring and wrestling. Still looks incredible. Can still get in there and move and have a great match. Was surprised to not see Samoa Joe involved in this in any way. I thought Mick Foley might somehow get involved since it was a unsanctioned match. I thought that could open the door for interference from Samoa Joe and from Mick Foley. So I'm not going to say that I'm disappointed that didn't happen. I would have liked to have seen Samoa Joe somewhere on the WrestleMania event. Would have been nice. But I do think that match went way too long, and I think that's where things kind of really, because the Randy Orton Bray Wyatt title match, you could tell there parts of it were kind of cut up. So it seemed. Maybe I'm wrong. I could be absolutely wrong. Disappointed that Bray didn't retain, but not surprised that Randy Orton won. You know, there's a rule here on my 1-2-3 cents: never bet against Randy Orton or John Cena, and that was the case for WrestleMania 33 for sure. So Randy Orton is the new champion. The effect when they went up above the ring and the maggots popped up and the worms, a neat effect. I don't know exactly what that was going to or what that was supposed to accomplish, because Randy Orton laying there, I don't know, would he have really known he was laying amongst the worms and the maggots and stuff? I don't know. Maybe you can tell. To me, it was more of a visual for the viewing audience at home than anyone else. But I had thought that Eric Rowan would return and maybe even a Sister Abigail character would be introduced, but that was not to be either. And Randy Orton is the new WWE World Heavyweight Champion. Hopefully, this leads to AJ Styles getting back into the title hunt, although there is rumor and innuendo going on that he is headed to Raw. Time will tell. Who knows what will happen there. Brock Lesnar beating Goldberg for the Universal Championship in a match that went less than 5 minutes. And I bring that up because, number one, the Goldberg return matches, or since Goldberg has returned, he went a minute 23, 24 at Survivor Series. He was in the Royal Rumble for a little bit, and then the match against Kevin Owens was like a buck 30 or so. So not a whole lot of time in the ring for Goldberg. It was an interesting back and forth. There were some moments where I thought Goldberg was going to retain, but Lesnar is the new champion, which would seemingly set up for he and Roman Reigns down the road as the two guys who have beaten The Undertaker at WrestleMania. Chad and I talked about that on last week's podcast, episode 123. Naomi winning the SmackDown Championship, no surprise there either when they announced she was coming back. I figured she would be the one to get the nod in that. By the way, and Chad sent me a text during the show towards the end, the stroll to the ring for The Undertaker from the first gong until he got into the ring and the start of the match was 5 minutes and 27 seconds or thereabouts. So that gong until the bell for the Undertaker Roman Reigns match lasted longer than the Universal Championship match. So it is what it is. Another thing that surprised me particularly about this WrestleMania, there were no like backstage vignettes. You know, in the past we saw, you know, at WrestleMania 30, for example, it was Paul Orndorff and Rowdy Roddy Piper, making amends, if you will, with Mr. T and Hulk Hogan backstage. You know, that was really neat. There was the year Pee Wee Herman was there and they did the skits backstage. These are just a couple of things popping into my head. It's late and I'm random with my thoughts. There was nothing like that this year. There were no vignettes or no skits, any kind of thing like that, which was surprising. And there were no run-ins by legends. You didn't see, like last year, when Stone Cold and Mick Foley and Shawn Michaels came to the ring. Or a couple years ago when it was the NWO coming out and D-Generation X coming out. And we complain about that and talk about them taking the shine from the guys who are on the roster. So maybe that was part of the reason. There were no celebrity guests in general at all, other than the singing of the America the Beautiful. I don't think there were any celebrities. Well, I guess I take that back. The football player who jumped in to the Battle Royal. So I guess I take it back on that. But there was no celebrity induction for the Hall of Fame this year. No Howard Finkel, speaking of the Hall of Fame, to introduce the Hall of Famers, which I think this marks his very first time not being a part of WrestleMania. Very disappointed that that happened, and maybe there's extenuating circumstances as to why. I don't know, but kind of bummed that Fink was not a part of it. So overall, I would probably give this WrestleMania, and again, I'm not crapping on anything here, but I would give it a solid C, I think. I'll sleep on it tonight, and you're listening to this, on, of course, on Monday, but I will have slept on it by the time you're listening to this and maybe changed my thoughts and feelings. But, you know, it is what it is, as they say, and I always look forward to the Monday after WrestleMania. It's always a lot of fun. There will obviously be some surprises, I'm sure. We'll probably see some NXT guys called in. And perhaps women. So I'm looking forward to a great night of wrestling with Raw. And then, of course, SmackDown Live. You never know what's going to happen. The draft around the corner as well. So I think they squeezed just about as much wrestling action into one night as they possibly could. May have been a little overkill in some parts, but, you know, it is what it is. It's WrestleMania. I still, you know, it's midnight now, Central Time, as wrapping this up. We would probably still be sitting in a parking lot somewhere trying to get out there in Florida, in Orlando. My hope, my goal is to be at WrestleMania 34 in New Orleans. And to do that, I've got to get this blog out, my123cents.com. I've got to get this podcast out here on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network or on iTunes out and to other listeners, other readers, subscribers. So leave a review on iTunes. If you love the show, if you hate the show, I just want to hear some feedback and hear what is on the minds of wrestling fans. What can I do to make the show better, take it to the next level? So I appreciate the support. I appreciate y'all listening. Be sure to tune in to Positive Cynicism. That is Chad's podcast. I don't know what he's got in store this week. He may do a WrestleMania recap as well. I have no idea, though. Check him out. His show drops on Tuesdays over at Jittery Monkey. There's the Five Hearts podcast with Greg Mahochko, where he talks all about Nebraska Cornhusker athletics. Nerds United, right now, Nerds United, Greg is blogging every day. So be sure to check that out as well. And, of course, my 123 cents, kevinhunsblogger.com. I've got a new venture going on at that website as well. Lots going on, and thanks for being a part of the ride. I appreciate it. Let me know what I can do to make things better for you, and have a great week, and let me know what you thought of WrestleMania. What letter grade would you give it? Thumbs up, thumbs down, in the middle? I'd probably go in the middle with it. I would not give it a thumbs down, but I'm reluctant to give it a thumbs up overall. But definitely a solid C, maybe even a C+. But I want to hear from you as well. So everybody, again, thanks so much for being a part of my 123 cents. I'm going to go get some sleep and maybe have some more coherent thoughts once Monday rolls around. Have a great week, friends.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network.
For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.